Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 is what we've been walking through for the last 3 weeks. Today, my hope and prayer is that we will conclude what's typically understood as the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. And it's really a prayer, but it's not what to pray. It's a prayer. It's a prayer about how we should live. Our mission here is simple. We want to make disciples. And in making disciples, number one, we have to have a heart of a disciple that's been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, we want to grow as disciples. How it is that we should grow, Jesus lays out for us in the Lord's Prayer how his disciples are to live. And if they live like this, they'll grow in him. Did you get that? If they live like this, what we're about to talk about, if you live like this, you'll grow in him. There he says these words, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Thy name is to be lifted up. Your name is to be honored. Your name is to be revered. If your name is to be lifted up, how is it going to be lifted up? By those of us who wear your name, your children. We are his children. He is our Father, and we wear his name. The question is, are you wearing his name well? Do you wear his name in a way that brings honor to who he is? Do you date in his name well? Do you do business in his name well? Do you honor your wife and raise your children in his name well? Are you a student wearing his name well? Oh, yeah. He shows up in class, too. You don't take his name off in when you go into class. Are you in the club wearing his name well? Some of y'all was in the club. What his name look like while you was up in there? All right? Can you really twerk like that and have his name on you? No judgment to all the twerkers in the room. I'm just saying. It's just something for you to think about. Can you really step to a girl like that, using those kind of lines and talking to her like that, wearing his name well? Like, can you really engage in a dating relationship wearing his name? How are you making his name look when you're pursuing that female, brothers? Like, are you coming to her saying, "Girl, your feet must be tired because you've been running through my head all day"? That ain't making him look good or you. That ain't helping nobody. What I want you to understand is that those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, he is our Father. He has given us his name, and we honor his name by wearing it well, by allowing his name to shape then how we live. Amen? Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Watch this now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. His kingdom, his way of doing things, his life, his influence, his love, his hope, his peace, his joy, his salvation in heaven is coming to earth just like it is in heaven. Question is, how's it going to get there? Through us. Because we wear his name. And he's going to bring his kingdom through those of us who wear his name. Y'all getting this? Y'all been here the last couple of weeks. This makes sense, right? Y'all, this is just a remedial. This is like a reminder, all right? Or bringing the new people up to speed. So if the kingdom of God is going to come forth through us, how is that going to happen? Jesus, how can I work that into my agenda? Because I got a whole lot of stuff to do. He says, well, first of all, let's get you a rhythm of life that's healthy, and let's live like this. I'm going to give you what you need for today, and you got to trust me for tomorrow. Y'all remember that? All right. So you're not living your life consumed with next week. You're not living your life consumed with what's going to happen next month. You're not living your life consumed with what's going to happen when I turn 40. OMG, and I'm not married yet, and I don't have any kids. What's going to happen in my life? Shut up. Stop. And see the goodness of the Lord that stands right before you. See the glory of the Lord and how he's providing for you. And he has, watch this now, the book of Exodus, fresh manna for you today. I got fresh bread for you today. I'm going to provide for you today. For you to look at the table that I provided for you today, scoot it over and say, "No, Lord, what about tomorrow?" It's really disrespectful of what I've provided for you today. Appreciate what I've done. Stop having a Costco mentality when you got a Whole Foods God. Y'all remember that? Remember that? You understand what I'm saying? So some of y'all are just trying to get a big old barrel or something that I can scoop out of for the next. Lord, if you just give me a 6-month supply of mayonnaise, I'll be good. I won't have to worry about a sandwich. I won't have to worry about nothing. I can just have a piece of mayonnaise. No. He says that's not how I want you to live. I didn't design you, create this world, put all that greatness in you for you to have day old blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm a good God. I'm a fresh God. I'm a providing God. You don't have to warm over and have leftovers for tomorrow. I got something fresh for you tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's a fresh God. Somebody say fresh.
Fresh.
He is a fresh God. He's like, I got fresh manna from heaven for you today. I got that good, son. I got that good stuff. I got the fresh manna today. So you ain't got to go microwave what I did last week. You ain't got to go microwave and heat up and warm up what I did for you last year. Or you ain't got to take, just kind of make it spread. Y'all remember, y'all probably ain't never been hungry or never been poor, never had little food. That were times, we grew up poor, but I didn't realize it until I got grown. Because we did poor people stuff that now I realize wasn't normal in everybody's house. You know what I mean? Every now and then, we have a week, we'd come home in the evenings, and mama would be like, all right, we having breakfast for dinner. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a unique way to have dinner. It's original, fresh. My mom is hooking it up. What I didn't realize is that when my mama looked in the refrigerator, looked in the cupboards, all she had was grits and bread. And grits, if you put more water in them, you can just stretch them bad boys. And you can take grits and stretch it. As a matter of fact, if company show up, you just add more water, add more grit, you keep on going. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that with God. What he does for you today, you don't have to try to maneuver and come up with a way to make it stretch so it can carry you tomorrow. He says, I got you tomorrow. Trust me for today and have faith for me to meet you in the place of tomorrow. How drastically would that change your life? If you really just walked in the blood, there are kingdom opportunities. There are kingdom opportunities right before you today, but you'll step right over them and miss them because you consume, because you got a doctor's appointment 2 weeks. So that's now hijacked all of your peace because you're waiting on what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, watch this now. I'm going to go deeper on you. I'm going to go deeper. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I think we talked about, was that last week we talked about that? How many of y'all remember that? It was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to you. How many of you went back and got bitter all over again and you struggling to let it go again? How many? Come on, tell the truth. Come on. Oh, yeah. Most of y'all do. The rest of y'all lying. I'm just telling you. Because it's a day-to-day process. Like, there's no magic wand in the back of our pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, bitterness, you can't be bitter for all those years and it just all of a sudden go away. Well, some people can. Some people, that's, God just delivers them and just takes it away. Some of other people, like me, every time I see you, I need to pray again. There he go. Lord Jesus, help me. It just comes back. But that's, I'm not tripping because the Lord says, I got fresh manna for you today. I got fresh forgiveness for you today. You don't have to hold on to that stale forgiveness that you did 3 weeks ago at church. I got a fresh one right for you today. That's what he has for us. It says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every time that sun rises, we get a brand new mercy. So every day, I ain't got to try to. So here's the beauty part. I don't have to try to forgive you for the next 10 years. I just got to forgive you for the next 24 hours. And then tomorrow, I'm going to get a fresh batch of forgiveness, and I'm going to give you a fresh batch of forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was good. Do y'all see that? See, some of you, your problem is you're trying to forgive them for the rest of their life in that moment. No. You got plenty of forgiveness stored up in the warehouse of forgiveness up in heaven. Just take that fresh batch there and say, I'm working on. And then sometimes they may catch you around 11 o'clock midnight and say, I'm working on my last batch of forgiveness for you, bruh. I got about another ounce, and then I'm going to have to bounce. You know what I'm saying? It's like, So trusting God for the day is important because when you step into this forgiveness thing, you're going to need to trust him every day for forgiveness. God, remove bitterness from my heart today. Father, help me to love today. I ain't got to love my coworker because she get on my nerves. This is a metaphor. All my coworkers at my job, I love dearly. And none of them get on my nerves. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to walk in forgiveness and love for her today. I already know we got a meeting Wednesday, and she probably going to say something crazy, and I'm going to want to go off. But we ain't going to worry about Wednesday, Jesus. Give me that fresh manna for today and get me through today. Some of you, it'll change your marriage. It'll change your children. It'll change how you live. Well, that's all stuff I preached already. Let me get us to today now. The last thing he says, see the progression. He says, I'm going to help give you a rhythm of life that keeps you focused on today. And then I'm going to help you get rid of bitterness. Because these are all things that will slow you down in your pursuit of living the kingdom life, of wearing his name well. This is all the stuff that will mess you up. Y'all with me so far? So I'm going to slow you down. Trust me for today. Have faith for tomorrow. I'm going to free up your heart from all the toxic waste of bitterness and unforgiveness. And I'm going to show you that as you forgive, I'll forgive you. And then it's almost as if he goes deeper and he says, watch this, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Watch this now. Watch this. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Temptation. Stuff church folks love to talk about. Oh, you like this stuff, don't you? Right? No, we don't. Because I don't know if it's the music, I don't know if it's the room, I don't know if it's the Bible, I don't know what it is, but it's something about church that makes us put on our best, which I appreciate. You know, we bring out the best of ourselves, but we act like that other part of ourselves ain't there no more. Y'all not getting it. Let me help you. Let me understand. See, I'll talk about me. Me, my life. Man, I've struggled with sin all my life, ever since I was a little boy. I say it all the time. I got introduced to pornography when I was young, way too young. Struggled with pornography, with lust. Struggled with just. Let me see. What else can I tell my church I struggle with for job security? Always watching other people's. Looking at other people, desiring what they have, not being settled in what I have, then that creating an insecurity. That was before I got saved. What happened when I got saved, though? Watch this now. Oh, wait, great. Finally, I got Jesus now. All that's going to be worked out. All that's going to be set free. Got saved January 23rd. January 24th, guess what I struggled with? Everything I did the day before. Nobody told me that was going to happen. I'm serious. Nobody prepared me and said, although Albert, you had a powerful moment last night. Tears were in your eyes, man. It was powerful. When I struggled, I was like, Lord, did you not get everything out? Did you miss some areas? What happened? Or was it not real? And when I get ready to open my mouth to say, whoa, is it what? I'm still tripping. What's up? I'm sorry, still tripping. I'm still discouraged and struggling in areas that I anticipated would be transformed and renewed at this point of my life. I'm still tripping. And before I open my mouth to say it, I look around. And everybody else just got it worked out. Everybody else just got it together. And I would go to him, but look at him. He don't look like he's tripping or struggling with nothing. And as a matter of fact, I've never even heard him talk about struggling with anything. Look at her. Yeah, that's the mother that was praying for me. She was so proud of me. She don't look like she struggled with nothing. She looked like, even when she used the bathroom, it smelled like roses. That's crazy. I know, it's a little too much. Oh, now look at that couple, man. Because our marriage is crazy. But I look at that couple and, man, I would talk to them, but they look like they don't ever argue. They look like they just got it all together. I mean, every time they come to church, they're holding hands and they're looking all cute and pretty. But we don't know that they had an argument in the parking lot. We don't know that he's got the business card of a divorce lawyer and they're already setting up meetings. You don't know that that guy that you're looking at that looks all holy, looks all well put together, was smoking marijuana this morning and spraying himself so he doesn't smell it when he gets to church. We all know that girl that looks so wholesome and pure, she woke up in somebody else's bed this morning. That man that just looks like he just got it all. That mom, oh my God, that mom, she does everything perfect. Her kids are always great. We all know she struggles and fights depression and insecurity every night she goes to bed because she knows everyone's expecting her to have it all together. And she always does. And that's her problem. I looked and I just didn't think anybody else struggled because nobody else ever talked about it. What pastor you hear is talk about their struggle with pornography all their life? Who talks about that? What mother do you know talks about her insecurities openly? Who talks about that? What marriage? Say, oh, you look like you got it there. No, no, honey, let me tell you, we are jacked up. This great, she crazy, okay? Why you think we coming to church so early? We need all the Jesus we can get. She is crazy, okay? Don't get it twisted. She crazy. Who does that? You see the couple that's been married for 50 years, and we hear that story, we've been celebrating 50 years. You don't know right in the middle of it, 25 years ago, they almost got a divorce and almost lost it all. Look at the businessman. He's got so much together. He's got all the money, got all the stuff. And you look at him, he got all the money, all the stuff. But who is he? He struggles with his identity, and his identity has become what he does. So why he works so hard is not because he wants to provide for his family. He does, but he's made way enough money to provide for his family. He's working now to provide for his own identity because that's all he got. So you look at his car, you look at his house, you look at his boat, you think, man, I want to be like that. And he looks at you and sees your love for Jesus, and he says, man, I want to be like that. Because he looks like he knows who he is, and I have no idea who I am. You take my money, you take my job, you take my identity, I ain't got nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is the stuff the devil says, and I've been around church folk long enough. That's why I don't care about putting my junk out there, because I know y'all. And I know y'all are jacked up too. I know you are. Up in the balcony, hey, how y'all doing? Late for church? Y'all jacked up too. As a matter of fact, here, let me just help you real quick. Let me help you. Oh Lord, it's 9:58 already. Let me help you. How many of you got areas in your life where you struggle? Everybody put your hands up. Look, keep them up. Watch this. Look, you saw the cute girl you was checking out doing worship? Look. Her hands up. See that mom you was watching in the parking lot with her little Bob stroller just bouncing with all her little pretty kids? Look at her. Her hands up too. As a matter of fact, I want you to lean over to your neighbor up in the balcony. I want y'all to lean over and say, neighbor. Lean over. Y'all going to talk to them and looking at me? Well, I tell you the truth. Y'all don't follow instructions sometimes. Add that to your list of struggles. Turn over, turn to the person sitting beside you. Look at them and say, neighbor, I'm so glad to see you just as jacked up as I am. That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. So when we start talking about temptations, we need to all recognize and confess we all have them. And let's not come up in here tripping and acting like we ain't got them. And let's not look at other people who struggle as if somehow we're self-righteous and we better than them just because they struggle in another area that you don't struggle in. See, that's the problem with religious people. Just because we struggle in different areas, I think somehow I'm better than you because I struggle with something else. And you say stuff like, oh, I'd never do that. I would never have that. I would never let that happen. We see somebody cheat on his wife and they family move and you stand in judgment. I'd never do that. Well, first of all, you'll never do it because wouldn't nobody ever do it with you? That's your problem. It ain't because you wouldn't do it. It's because you ain't got the opportunity. Let's tell the truth. Oh, you didn't like that. You didn't like that. That's all right. It's the truth, though. It's the truth. So you're self-righteous and you're arrogant because you don't struggle in that area. But it's not because you're somehow better than somebody else. It's not how somehow you got the market on that. No. Satan just knows how to get you, and he knows he got to get you by coming up a different street. So don't arrogantly assume that you're better because you live on your street and they live on their street. Satan know the address to all y'all. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't allow the sin of self-righteousness to somehow put you in a special category. We all struggle. We all sin. From the preacher to the worship leader. Tiana Lee in worship. Oh my God, you talking about sinful. She is something else. Struggle, okay? I'm just, well, I'm serious. But, James says it like this. He says, we are carried away to sin when we're drawn out by our own lust. Which says to me, you got lust, I got lust, all God's children got lust. What we don't need you to do, if you're going to grow in a life of a disciple, what we don't need you to be is in denial or ignorant concerning your lust. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's this thing where you just act like it's not there, or you just walk in denial. And you act like you don't struggle with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't need to be in denial about where you struggle. You need to be able to say, oh, no. If Satan's going to come after me, he's going to come after me doing A, B, or C. You need to know that about yourself. And if you are unsure about how you struggle, ask your husband. Hello? Ask your wife. Ask your homeboys. Your Christian homeboys. Not those other. No, not them. They're going to be like, oh, you don't struggle. We're going to struggle together. Pass that joint. No. Not them. Your Christian brothers, ask people around you. When you see me broken, when you see me at my lowest, what has Satan used to get me there? Some of you tell the truth about it. He's used the very thing that you love the most. Some of you, he's used your boyfriend or your girlfriend to wear you out. Some of you still struggle with low self-esteem. Where did it come from? Some relationship or something like that. And what are you doing? Still going from different relationships. What does Satan use to bring you out of the will of God? Are y'all with me here today? Don't be in denial about your struggle. Stop lying to yourself. We all have struggle. What does Satan use? Satan knows he can't. Like, I smoked weed as a kid. I'm not really sure if I ever got high, because I'm not sure if I knew what I was doing. But I just acted high like everybody else. I just, man, this is great. I don't know. So I don't know if I had bad stuff or what. You know what I mean? I don't know. Some of y'all may be like, yeah, you had the bad stuff. Because, bruh. So Satan wouldn't try to tempt me by smoking marijuana. He's not going to say, Albert, a bag of weed, like, dude, what are you doing? Get out of here. So Satan's not going to come and tempt you stuff that you don't like. James says we're drawn away when we're drawn away by our own lust, our own desires. He knows what you like. He knows how you like it. He knows when you like it. He knows where you like it. He knows what you like. So you're going to be drawn away, not by something that's disgusting and turns you off. He's going to draw you away with something that you desire. It's like going fishing. My friend, mentor Brian Laritz, tells this illustration. I've used it here before at fellowship. He talks about a fisherman who goes fishing, and he takes what the fish likes. And he takes what the fish likes, and he goes where the fish live. That's already a valuable lesson. Yeah. Satan is going to take what you like, and he's going to go where you live, and he's going to drop it right in front of you. So now you got a fish, in the water just chilling with his fish homies doing their fish hang. You know what I'm saying? And they just chilling, fishing, hanging, chilling, fishing, eating, chilling, fishing. And all of a sudden the fish is just sitting there watching little fish TV. And then he looks up and he sees what he likes. The eye gate. He sees what he likes, and then he's turned on. Things get to moving on the inside. Think about what you like and think about how it turns you on and how it moves you. And what happens is the fish doesn't say, I see that, but I'm gonna stay here in community. No. The fish says, dude, I've been waiting on that all day. So he starts moving towards the worm, moving what he's like, because his lust, his urges, they move him away from his community and moves him out. And then he gets to what he likes. He bites into it and he says, this ain't what I thought it was. Because Satan has taken a sharp hook, put what you like on it, and then put it where you live. So when he bites down, he's hooked. What does the fisherman do then? He yanks him out of the water. Yanks him out of his place of peace. Yanks him out of his home. Yanks him out of his place where his provision is. Yanks him out of his community. He pulls him out. Are y'all with me? Satan, you bite down, but then you realize, wow, this didn't satisfy me. Wow, this left me shallow. Wow, I'm guiltier before now than I was before. Wow, I feel worse about myself than I did before. Satan calls you out, and when you bite down, he hooks you, and then he yanks you out. And then you're stuck dangling, hooked by Satan. What I love about Jesus, though, is he doesn't leave us dangling. And we're not dangling without hope. Some of us, if you ever watch a fishing show, I've seen a couple episodes. What they do at the end is this crazy thing. They take the fish, take the hook out its mouth, and they throw the fish back in the water. Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross paid the price so that you and I, when hooked by Satan, he says, you ain't got to stay there. I am a deliverer, and I will deliver you from evil. And I will take the hook of sin and Satan and guilt and shame of this world out of your mouth, and I will throw you back in the ocean of grace where you can begin again. So even if you're tempted, and even when you fall, I've provided a way of grace for you to begin again. He says, lead us not into temptation. Keep us from temptation. Keep our hearts, keep our minds, keep our eyes, keep us guarded in the safety of community and family and faith and friends. Keep us safe in community to keep us from temptation. Keep us from the lures of this world. But if I fall, if I find myself in sin, he's got enough power to deliver you out. He can break you out. I love this. He says, and deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. I just got back from Ecuador a couple of days ago. And while we'll talk about Ecuador and some stories in the work that we'll get a chance to do, there's a story that really grabbed me when I was there. In this small village in Ecuador, I met these boys. And these boys, this is the front porch of their house. It's 8 children in all. There's 6 in the picture there. One of the boys was out playing, and they've got a little sister. Before I talk about them, I've got to tell you about their mom. Their mom, at 10 years old, was abused sexually repeatedly by her uncle. And at the age of 10, after being abused, they sold her to a local Ecuadorian gang. And in that gang, she was raped over and over from the age of 10 years old to the age of 14 years old. At 14 years old, she finally ran away from that gang, broke away, got free, and this family took her in to work for them as her maid. But she became their slave. They literally would chain her by night and work her by day. When the authorities got wind of it, it made national Ecuadorian news when they found this girl chained to this house. So now abused, sexually molested, and now a slave at 14 years old, she moves to this village that we see here. She meets this man and marries him. They have 8 kids together. This man abuses her weekly. He's an alcoholic and a drug dealer. They had 8 kids. Their daughter, who's 10 years old, is not in the picture because the father was trying to molest her. So they moved the little girl out of the house. That's when Compassion International and Stadia planted a church right up the street from their house in this little village. When they planted that church right there in that little village, Compassion comes in and they gather all of the local kids and they give them education, they give them nutrition, they give them social skills, and they give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In comes in the next picture, Kayla right here. No, go back. You're already there, I just didn't know it. Kayla's 21 years old. She comes to their house, identifies all the problems. First thing she does, the mother is a little standoffish. The mother has mental illness, obviously, from all of the abuse she's gone through in her life. Kayla comes in. First thing she does, she notices that the children only are bathed once a month. So she comes in and she bathes the children, the two little ones, brings toys, teaches them to read, teaches the mother to read, and begins to love on the mother and give the mother the gospel of Jesus Christ. Her husband is so abusive, Kayla never goes inside their house. She does all of this out there on the porch where we're standing. Next picture. That's the mother. Mother of those 8 children. Mother who spent all that abuse, all that time in abuse. Look at her face. The kingdom of God has come to her little village, has come to her home, and she's experiencing the love of Jesus Christ for the first time because Kayla showed up wearing the name of Jesus well, and she is bringing deliverance from evil because the kingdom of God is working through her. Next picture. That's the little boy. That's the youngest. His 15-year-old brother is threatening to molest him. So Compassion and the pastor of that church are coming in that home, dividing, creating separation, providing other homes so that the kingdom of God can be this boy's reality. That's what it means to wear his name well. That's what it means to show up in dark places, in places where Satan has been ruling, a place where Satan has had his thumb. Satan has been oppressing that little boy's mother all her life. And for now, for the first time in her life, to experience the joy of the Lord, the hope of Jesus, the love of Christ, because somebody decided to show up and to bring the kingdom of God with them. When we wear his name well, we will change families, will change communities, will change neighborhoods. This is why it's not enough for you to come to church and sit down and hear sermons and go out and do nothing. You can't come in and sing songs and pay money and go out and not bring the kingdom of God, because although this is in Ecuador, there's hope, there's peace, there's desperation in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our city, and we are God's plan A. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are his children. And when we wear his name well, the kingdom of God comes through us and it changes his city. This is our calling. This is our purpose. This is what God has called us to do. I wish I had an audio recording of this boy laughing. His laughter brought tears to my eyes. He doesn't know that his older brother wants to molest him. He doesn't know that his mother has been sexually victimized all her life. In that moment, the innocence of his childhood is still intact. And when Kayla, when the kingdom of God, when we plant churches, when we be the love of Jesus Christ, we protect and we cover his imago Dei. the image of God that's been imprinted in his life. God didn't just save you from whatever your temptation is. He saved you for his kingdom purposes. That's what we do. That's who we are. We've got to grow in a life of worship because the kingdom of God is at hand in and through us. Everybody look at me. Look at me. Hear this. If you don't hear another sermon, if you were just here today checking it out and you're going to go on your church tour and go somewhere else to check out, that's great. But hear this. God loves you. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Guys that got baptized today, God wants to use you to bring hope and transformation in this world. I know some of you are thinking, there's no way he wants to use me because of all the stuff I did. Do I need to remind you of how jacked up this room is? Do I need to remind you of how unworthy all of these people are? Should I remind you of how unworthy I am? If God will use me to bring laughter to a little boy in Ecuador, he can use anybody. What would it mean for you to surrender everything so that you might be used for the glory of God? King James closes it like this, and I'll close our time like this. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Amen. I'm not into editing King James, but if I did, I'd say it like this. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory through us forever. Amen. His power, his glory, his kingdom through your life. Woo! That's good! His power, his glory, his kingdom through us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Your best days aren't behind you. He wants to use you for his glory. Here's our prayer this morning. I pray that you would guard your heart, your mind, that you would be well aware of how Satan wants to try to use and lure you away from the promises of God. But I want to spend our response time this morning. I want to spend this time, and I want to target on that last part where he says, but deliver us from evil. Because some of you may be here today and you say, Pastor Tate, I'm not struggling, I've fallen. Albert, I'm not tempted. I'm not being lured away. I am on the hook. I am caught. I am in it. I am consumed. I don't have control. It has control of me. I am in a fallen place. I am in a bad place. I am in a spiritually unhealthy place. And I'm telling you, you have come to the right place because Jesus wants to set you free today. You don't have to go another day stuck in the place you're in. So for the next 45 seconds, I want to talk to the people that are stuck in a prison of sin, of guilt, of shame. Satan has you on the hook and he's throwing a party because he has you. You don't have hope. You've even lost the desire. I'm telling you, God brought you here today to set you free, to remind you of your kingdom purpose, remind you of your kingdom promises. Maybe you've never heard of them. Maybe you didn't know that you had a God who created this world, who died on a cross, who rose again so that you can have a new way of living, so that you can have a new kind of life, a life with your Creator. You weren't made to be living in isolation. You weren't made to be living consumed with guilt, shame, and fear. You weren't made to be consumed with stress and anxiety. He died on the cross to set you free so that you might live. And what he has provided for you. What has he provided? I'm glad you asked. Peace that passes all understanding. A love that's unconditional. A grace that knows no bounds. And a joy that's unspeakable. That's yours. My brother, that's yours. My sister, that's yours. All you got to do is believe and let go. Believe and let go. Believe and let go. If you're in this room and you say, Albert, that's me. I need him to deliver me. I'm not struggling. No. I need to be delivered today. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Right there where you are, I want to pray for you. If that's you, would you just stand up right where you are? Just stand up right where you are. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong. Don't let Satan talk you out of your deliverance. Don't let him negotiate terms with you. In the name of Jesus, hit the mute button and hear the Spirit of the Lord calling you. My beloved, come home. I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, come home. That's you if you're stuck. Today, by the power of Jesus Christ, he wants to set you free. All you got to do is believe and let go. I'll give you 30 more seconds, then we're going to pray. If you had 30 seconds, would you jump out of that prison and walk in victory? If you had 25 seconds, would you say goodbye to Satan and all of his hopes for your life and say hello to Jesus Christ and the promises that he has for you? If you had 20 seconds, would you tell hell no and tell Jesus yes? Don't fight this God. No. Trust me, I'm telling you, I know. You don't fight him. You surrender to him. You surrender to him. If you had 10 more seconds to surrender, would you let go and believe him? Would you let go and believe him? If you had 6 more seconds to transform your life, to change your life, would you take a moment, jump up and say, God, I believe. God, I trust you. If you had 4 more seconds, would you throw the keys, your control, jump out of the driver's seat and say, Lord, take the wheel. I can't do it. Take my life. It's yours. All you got to do is believe and let go. And right in that moment, like a fish caught on the hook, you need to feel the hand of the Almighty Creator grabbing your life, pulling the sting of death, pulling the sting of guilt, pulling the sting of shame, unhooking you from all that Satan had for you, and fill it, receive it by the power of Jesus Christ. He sets you free, throws you back out, and say, you begin again. You get a new mercy. You get a new day. You get a new life. I died so that I could give you new life. It's in the gimmick. It cost him everything. Satan had him on the hook, on the cross. And he died there because he knew one day that you'd be on the hook. And now he just shows his bloodstained receipt. Said, no, Satan, they're not yours, they're mine. I paid the price for them because you put me on the hook one day. But in the grave, after 3 days, I got up with all power. you lost, Satan, and I won. Only thing is, they just didn't know it till now. They didn't know that they didn't have to live like that. I paid a price. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross, may that same blood flow today. Set the captives free. Oh, set the captives free. Set the captives free. We believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ and he died on the cross and got up with all power in his hand so that we might be free today. And upon that belief, we let go to every false god, every idol, everything that we would look to try to save us outside of you. We let it go. Father, deliver us from evil and unleash us for your kingdom purposes. My prayer, Father, day by day, draw me close to you. Never let me go. You're all I want. You're all I need. You are my desire. Bring me back to you. In Jesus' name. Every heart said amen. Would you celebrate every believer, every breakthrough?